Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. Purdy's have your interests at heart. They want to know exactly what you need, and they go from there. They've served their customers for decades. They've served the Valley for decades. And they've given back to the Valley for decades. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia Route 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Don't often talk enough about the great service department, by the way, at Sunbury Motors. They take great care of the car from the showroom through its entire life. Great, great pros. From sales to the guys that work in the shop. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Alongside Kevin Herr, who is once again back in the show, and it's now T-minus 10 to August.
It's getting exciting.
Sounds like you just stumbled into the building. What's...
My microphone didn't work right away. I had to do the Steve Jones technical fix on it.
Oh, did you hit it in the side?
Hit it on the side. That's right.
Yes. Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby, good man. I've met Bob many times when he was the athletic director at Iowa. Bob Bowlsby says cheating pays in the NCAA these days and doesn't foresee things getting much better in the future. During his annual State of the League address from the Big 12 Media Day in Monday in Dallas, Bowlsby slammed the NCAA, notably the enforcement wing of college football's governing body. Enforcement is broken, he said. The infractions committee hasn't had a hearing in almost a year, and I think it's not an understatement to say that cheating pays presently. If you seek to conspire to certainly bend the rules, you can do it successfully and probably not get caught on most occasions. Bowlsby added that he didn't think that cheating was necessarily rampant in college sports, but he painted a bleak outlook for the future of the NCAA. We certainly are operating in a strange environment in that we have lawsuits, plus we have the O'Bannon lawsuit. See, I think all of that will cause programs to be eliminated. I think you'll see men's Olympic sports go away as a result of the new funding challenges that are coming down the pipe. I think there may be tension among and between sports on campus and institutions that have different resources. It's really an unknown as to what the outcomes will be. He is absolutely right. Title IX will protect as many women's sports as possible. There will be no protection for men's sports outside of football and men's basketball on campuses if things continue down the road that they are going down. He is not incorrect when he talks about that. Bowlsby, however, came to the defense of the collegiate model. And again, that's the right way to say it. The collegiate model. It is not the amateur sports model that the head of the NCAA, allegedly an intellectual above all intellectuals, keeps saying. It's the collegiate sports model. It's different than the amateur sports model. He argued against unionization of college athletes, noting that in his opinion, student athletes are not employees. He also said it wouldn't be fair to pay football players, but not female student athletes, which he's right. It's hard to justify paying student athletes in football and men's basketball and not recognizing the significant effort that the swimmers and the wrestlers and lacrosse players put in, track and field. So football and basketball players do not work any harder than anybody else. They just happen to have the blessing of an adoring public who is willing to pay for the tickets and willing to buy the products on television that come with the high visibility. We have both a legal obligation and a moral obligation to do for female student athletes and male Olympic sports athletes just exactly what we do for football and basketball student athletes. says, I don't think that's even debatable. And he is he stated it right, and he's spot on. He stated it right, and he's spot on. You may not go to men's volleyball, but they work just as hard as the football players do. It's all part of the collegiate sports model, giving as many opportunities as possible. How do you pay for it? Well, football and men's basketball spreads the wealth across the landscape. That's how it works. It isn't, you know, that part of the system, there's nothing wrong with it. Stipends? Let's go with stipends. You want to give stipends out, which I'm for. As I said, $2,000 a year, $200 a month over 10 months. Okay? That's the academic year. May and June, excuse me, I'm checking June, July, because they usually May it ends. June, July, you're on your own. Okay? Take that times 800 student athletes that are on scholarship. That's $1.6 million at Penn State. That's how much money they have to put out. Now, we can debate back and forth a little bit about, well, okay, Bobby the wrestler is on a half scholarship, and Mike the first baseman is on a quarter scholarship, and Alice the softball pitcher is on a three-quarter scholarship. All right, so do you give Alice of that $2,000 three-quarters of it? So she gets $1,500 in the academic year because she's on a three-quarter scholarship. Bobby the wrestler's on half, so he gets $1,000 for the year, $100 a month. And Bobby the first baseman, or Mike the first baseman, is on a quarter scholarship, so he would get $500 for the year. You could certainly do it that way. But that's we can debate that maybe another time when maybe a better formula comes out. But I'm for stipends. I'm not for paying them. Absolutely not. I'm not for paying them at all. I don't want to hear about fair market, free market, blah, blah, blah. There isn't even a free market in professional sports, for goodness sakes. I mean, in the free market in professional sports, what are Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and LeBron James worth? What's Derek Jeter worth? Although Jeter is in more of a free market. I mean, actually, baseball does have a free market. But hockey, football, basketball do not. They don't have a free market in professional sports. I mean, LeBron James is going to get the max, a $42 million deal over 2 years. That's the max. How much is he actually worth on the free market? Show of hands. So the top 300 ESPN.com, when they talk about stipends, yeah, they're for stipends, and I'm for stipends too. I think that works. Here's one that I'm not quite 100% in lockstep with them. Should scholarship offers have expiration dates? 91.3% say no. I am for 4 or /5 year scholarships. Instead of scholarships being renewed year by year, the only way, you know, but there should be obviously two caveats on that scholarship. You are a disciplinary problem, or you're failing in school, or not living up to, or not keeping yourself eligible academically in school. I mean, that, to me, you lose your scholarship if that's where you are. But if you're living up to the role of being, look, you know, when it comes to the team, when it comes to campus, hey, you're getting it done. You are getting it done in the classroom, you know, whether you're just above the cut line or significantly above the cut line in terms of being eligible, then I'm all for it. You know, the 4 and 5 year scholarships. Do I think there should be an expiration date? To me, say Kevin signs with me, National Letter of Intent, I give him a 4 year scholarship. Kevin's a football player. And after 3 years, Kevin's eligible for the NFL draft, and he gets drafted. I would still be for Kevin's last 2 years of his education being paid for here when he elects to come back to do it. But nothing beyond that. That everything is done within a total of a 5-year window. And whatever collateral you've eaten up in school to get to that point, then that's all you have left on your academic clock. I don't think that you should be able to go 3 years and then, oh, by the way, come back and take four more years after that for something, whatever. Now it's 7 years we paid for. No, I'm not for that. Ed O'Bannon, the one thing about Ed O'Bannon's trial was it also exposed certain areas for Ed O'Bannon, too. Ed O'Bannon was seven courses shy of graduation at UCLA. Seven courses. Now, whose fault is that? The system? UCLA? No, I'll be frank with you. It is 100% absolutely Ed O'Bannon's fault. Okay? No one else's, that he is seven courses shy of graduation. Now, why do I say that? Because Ed O'Bannon, while being a college basketball player of the year in 1995, while being a first-round pick in the NBA draft, okay, remember, Ed O'Bannon is not a guy that left after his freshman year. He's not a guy that left after his third year. Ed O'Bannon entered the NBA draft after being at UCLA for 5 years. Five. 5 years. He redshirted medically his freshman year with a knee injury. I've mentioned often on the show that he was on the bench when Penn State beat UCLA in the NCAA tournament game. He's on the bench in street clothes because, you know, that was the year of his knee injury. He then played 4 years at UCLA under Jim Herrick. And then in his senior year, his fifth year, he was the National Player of the Year. And that was a first-round pick of the Nets. Okay, great. Worked out. But do not blame anybody else at O'Bannon for the fact that you are seven courses shy of your degree. Because you were given 5 years. Five. To get there. If you're short, it's actually your fault, not anybody else's. At some point, it's your fault. And in this one, okay, I could see him being seven courses shy and, okay, he went 4 years. Okay, the basketball burden and so forth, but that extra year, plus summers, I mean, some summers he may have been playing USA basketball, whatever, I don't know. But when you're seven courses shy in 5 years, that comes back to you. You know, you can blame everybody else all you want, but guess what? In the end, okay, you didn't take it seriously enough.
Steve, we got Dick Milton on the line for you to chime in.
Yeah, I don't have the screen today. I've got a lot of pictures of Mark Lawrence on the screen.
So. All right, good.
Yeah, I'm just telling you. That's why I know. Hi, Dick.
Hello, Steve and Kevin. Hey, I just wanted to comment on one thing. Did you ever? I know you're in favor of stipends. I'm not in favor of paying college athletes. I think they get a lot with their scholarships at a lot of schools. That's worth a lot to me or to them. And then, did you ever figure out what percentage of schools that don't come from big power conferences that couldn't even afford the stipends? I mean, there's a lot of them. There's over 300 Division I basketball teams, and the majority of them don't come out of power conferences. And even right, at $2,000, that would be way for what their budgets could afford. I'm almost positive to that.
I'm sure it would be, and I'm thinking more of the Power Five conferences, which would be allowed, Dick, to put in their own rules on that versus the smaller conferences. The Power Conferences, like, for example, Tennessee's going to draw $100,000 and so forth. These athletes are not really I've never been in favor of stipends. I never have been. But after talking to some of the athletes here at Penn State that take their grant money and send it home to their parents, I know that's their choice.
Yeah,
I mean, you and I are pretty close in opinion, Dick. Very close in opinion, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I just can't see the majority of conferences with all their athletes, besides what they give in scholarships, having to pay a stipend on top of that. I mean, because they don't have the revenue. They can't have the revenue. Most of them operate at a deficit by far.
Hey, you're absolutely right. And for whatever reason, Mark Emmert, who is going to be the lightning rod of this thing, cannot possibly do a poorer job of representing the interests of his membership in the NCAA than he's done at trial and before the Senate. I mean, you articulate it better than he does, and he's got 5,000 degrees, Dick.
I'm going to let you go. I was going to ask, is Kevin a Steelers or an Eagles fan? I know he's a Phillies fan.
I am a Steelers fan.
Well, the reason I'm asking, you guys might have discussed this, but you know the new Bucknell assistant offensive line coach is a former Pittsburgh Steeler.
Yes.
And he played. I talked to him today. He's a very nice, very, very knowledgeable, and obviously and hopefully does a good job there. I mean, yeah. He's coming from a high-profile job at one time, obviously.
It's actually a great addition for Joe Susan, and very, very happy that he's part of the program.
Yeah, he has to be. But anyhow, yeah, that's the story with the stipends, the scholarships. I agree, I can see down the road, basically, that if they continue at this pace to try and do this stuff, they're going to put an end to a lot of college athletics. I just don't like it.
Dick, I absolutely agree with you. I don't think that for whatever reason people have focused so much on football and men's basketball because of the money that's brought in there. They have not been able to sit there and really look at the big picture as to what it means.
I think I'm going to let you go, but one way they could really figure this out, if you took the schools in the Big Ten and the Pac-10 and the Southeast Conference football especially, and figure out how many seats they have to sell at football games a year to support all their athletics, and then figure whatever that amount of money is, and then take an average of the rest of the schools and figure out how much they actually make and look at the difference, and their eyes would be open. They can't be that stupid. I mean, let's say Penn State has to have 45,000 people at a game every week just to pay for all their athletics. So I don't know, whatever. That's just my number. I have no idea what it is. And then, you know, they wouldn't get that at some of those schools, 45,000 people, they wouldn't get that in 4 or 5 years.
Dick, you are so right. You're so right. And that's why, again, there's a big picture to this that is when they sit there and they talk about the only time that ESPN really takes a long look at anything beyond the Power Five conferences is during a championship week for college basketball. Hey, we're here at Wagner. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
It's like, good,
yeah, and
good
then
for
you. And
you.
Then, yeah. Then you look up in the stands and there's 8 people there.
Yeah,
because they're not used to seeing Wagner play, so they don't go any. I'm just using you used that example, not me. But Boston University was a prime example in the Patriot League. Other than the ushers, there was nobody in some of those areas, which I thought was kind of stupid. But that's just the way it is. So,
well, when you look at you take Boston University as an example, let's take the Boston Globe. Exactly, where's the Boston University story in the Boston Globe? Patriots are going to be on page one, Red Sox on page one, Celtics, Bruins, maybe Boston College. I mean, you're lucky if there's a line in there that says, hey, by the way, BU's playing tonight.
Yeah, it's sad. It really is. They don't have much coverage. All right, I'll let you go. I just wanted to – I know you've discussed this issue before. Unfortunately, it doesn't get discussed enough, people that really have responsibility for figuring it out. At least I don't think they talk about it. Maybe they do. I don't know.
Well, example, we don't carry this show. I was talking about this the other day. We don't carry the show. We carry Dan Patrick, who does just a phenomenal show every day after
On
the Mark. Oh, Dan Patrick's tremendous, highly intelligent, can entertain, but then get into high level talk. Great interviewer. Well, it turned out that on ESPN Radio, Colin Cowherd was not in that day, and they brought in a guest host, and he was talking about, he says, hey, look, he says, the heck with all the other sports, he says, that's just the way of the world. He says, football, men's basketball, he says, that's the way they're gone. I mean, it's that kind of absolutely irresponsible commentary that has polluted our airwaves, and I'm glad we don't pollute the airwaves.
Yeah, I'm familiar with him somewhat, only because he's a Baltimore guy. And I'm an Orioles fan.
Gotcha.
And that's where it ends. I think I know more about the Orioles than he does. I'll let you go. I got to get going. Thanks.
Thanks, Dick. Appreciate it. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PrettyInsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Pretty Insurance. And the Purdy's take personal care of their customers. You can't ask for more from a group of people than the Purdy's. Their reputation is on the line all the time. Well, their reputation's impeccable because they do a great job for their customers. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia with 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin Herr alongside for the July 31st deadline.
Yeah, I may have to take some time off because this is just too much.
What deadline do you think I'm talking about?
The July 31st trade deadline I was thinking about, yeah. For Major League Baseball.
No, deadline until we get to August.
Mine was chinned about the Bucknell Bison getting a new offensive line coach, and Darnell Stapleton is joining the Bucknell program. Joe Susan actually recruited him, and he played at Rutgers under Susan, so they're very familiar with each other. It is a very good addition to the Bucknell staff, no question.
Yeah, that should be a big plus, no question. And we've been talking about the future of intercollegiate athletics. There has been so much concentration, and I understand about the money part of it, the exposure part of it, to football and men's basketball. That's where the mega contracts happen to be. When we talk about the possibility, about the door being open to the Big Ten getting $44.5 million per school starting in 2017, that's a possibility. It's been in print by some in the industry, not from Jim Delaney, but in the industry, that's possibly what could happen. We do know that each Big Ten school got $25.7 million a year ago. Now, that we do know. When you hear numbers like that, you know darn well that's being done for football and men's basketball. It's just not. And as much as when you look at the, okay, let me take you back to the beginning of the Big Ten Network, just to make a point. When the Big Ten Network started, what was the stated goal of the Big Ten? Stated goal of the Big Ten was to not only have football and basketball, but to give coverage to every sport across the board. That was pretty much about what they wanted to do. Now, is there a little bit of field hockey? Yes. Is there a little bit of women's soccer, men's soccer? Yes. You know, a little bit of wrestling, yes. You ask the people in our area, do they put enough on? Of course they don't. Is there more exposure now to ice hockey? Yes. Do they get baseball, softball exposure? No doubt. Track and field? Eh. Golf? Eh. Every school in the Big Ten has golf, too. Rutgers and Maryland included. Now, I would expect that they'll give some coverage to lacrosse. Now, they have a Big Ten lacrosse coming up. And that's in a hot sport. But I can tell you right now, men's lacrosse, which has become a hot sport, will be on the chopping block. But as the Big Ten evolved, what happened? Football, 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 men's basketball, men's basketball, men's basketball, men's basketball, men's basketball. Why? Why have they really gone heavy on studio shows talking about football left and right, football game coverage left and right, every men's basketball game on TV left and right, studio coverage left and right? They do some for women's basketball, some for wrestling, but just some. Why is it they go so heavy on those other two sports?
Those are the popular
why?
Ones.
Those are the ones people want to watch. That's why. In terms of mass, okay? You got to remember, you have to take Pennsylvania out of the equation on a couple of things. All right, you have to take Pennsylvania out of the equation on a couple of things. And I'm saying that because this is a conference that goes from the, Colorado-Wyoming border all the way to the Atlantic Ocean now. So as much as you might, well, I want more wrestling on there. Well, I'm telling you right now, in Ohio, Indiana, and in Nebraska, they don't care as much about it. Michigan, they just don't. It's just, you got to take it out of the equation as to what you love. Purdue does really well in women's basketball in terms of attendance, 8,000 plus per game. But other parts of the footprint, not so much. So they're showing more and more, obviously, football, men's basketball, because obviously as a network, they have a duty to put on programming that they think people will want to see. And thus, when you talk about the $25.7 million, let's talk about the number that's assured that each one of them got last year. That money was because of football and men's basketball coverage. And that's why when we talk about money that is put down on the table, whether it's Learfield contract or IMG, which is another radio network outlet, or whatever, that money is put down for football and men's basketball coverage. That's why the football and the men's basketball coaches have coaches shows that go on 40, 50, 60 stations. So that's why when you talk about even the big picture of this, the scope is so narrow. ESPN scope is on college football, men's basketball, and look, and do they pick up other sports? Yeah, they do the division, they do FCS championship, they do Division II, Division III. They'll give you the men's, women's soccer championship. You know, they'll do the championship. There's more in the NCAA baseball tournament, more in the softball tournament. But I also think that's a byproduct of the fact it's the spring and it's fresh program. In the end, there's so much concentration on this, and you don't have enough people within the industry that they went to college, but they don't have a college background. In other words, they weren't around covering college every day. They didn't take the time to talk to the athletic director in their lifetime. They never took the time to talk to the finance person to find out where it's going. I mean, Dick from Milton made a great point. I mean, like other schools outside the Power Five conference can't afford to give stipends. They don't have that kind of money. I mean, Rutgers is in massive debt now. Going to the Big Ten is their salvation financially. Maryland, I give them credit. Kevin Anderson, the athletic director, made no bones about it. They were saying, you're leaving the ACC for the Big Ten. It's going to turn everything upside down. He looked at it and said, look, we're broke. We dropped seven sports. If unionization were to happen, or if football and men's basketball players were to suddenly become employees and draw paychecks, the number of sports that you can say goodbye to, I think, would stun people. And most of them would be on the men's side. Now, there would be some women's sports that would go. There's no question about that. But Title IX would affect as many as possible. Because, again, it's an unfunded federal mandate with the emphasis on mandate. And there's nothing wrong with the unfunded federal mandate. Nothing. I have no problem with that. Two daughters, you know. I've got a granddaughter who just started soccer 2 weeks ago, 6 years old. She's having fun. She loves it, the whole thing. Who knows? She could go through her whole life and she plays for fun and she has a good time and she's on teams and the whole thing. Or you never know. Maybe she has some talent, obviously, from her father's side. You know? And suddenly can make something of it. You don't know. Nobody knows. But she, you know, I want her to go out and at least have a chance. And that's what intercollegiate athletics is all about, providing an opportunity with education. Here it's 800 student athletes plus walk-ons. I'm not for cutting sports. Felt bad that Temple originally cut seven, brought back two, so they're down five. Maryland had to cut seven. Rutgers is financially in a world of hurt. Big Ten is the lifeboat that showed up and saved them financially. There are certain things with the system that need to be changed or tweaked. I mentioned that now I'm among the Power Five conferences, I'm for stipends. And if they can get the chance to have their own legislation, I think that would help other athletic departments if it didn't filter down to them, because Dick's absolutely right. It would break a lot of athletic departments having to do that. In a school like Penn State, there are 800. If each one of them received a full stipend, because that 800 includes some that are in quarters, halves, three quarters, you know, partial, some sort of makeup, okay? The vast majority of the scholarships here are not full. But say each one received a full stipend of $2,000, that's $1.6 million. That's a lot for any athletic department to absorb. A lot. On top of the food element, which now tacked another $1 million+ on to athletic department budgets, Power Five conferences. It's a lot of money. In order to have the quality of sports that you have, and here there are 31 of them, you know, it still takes... It still takes a lot to run those sports. Now, they're not going to charge football or men's basketball. You say, oh, they should be flying commercial and save money and the whole thing. Yeah, but you know what? When you're doing what they do, especially the men's basketball part, you're trying to get the reason is that you can leave later. That means they can go to class. They miss fewer classes by chartering. How about that? When there's so much asked of them to do things during the course of the week, take wrestling, for example. Wrestling's a Friday, Sunday, Saturday, Sunday thing. Okay? men's basketball, sometimes it's Tuesday, sometimes it's Wednesday, sometimes it's Thursday. If you're doing this on the road, which half of your games in the conference are going to be, that cuts down the amount of class time you're out by not going commercial. And you can get, you know, and charter-wise, when you have they are bringing in some money. So, I mean, and same thing with football. It's just easier for them to leave late on a Friday, charter out as a group, as a team, go together, boom, and come back. It just takes a lot of money to run this thing. And there's just not, I can't begin to emphasize enough that the NCAA with the video game thing, and I know, Kevin, you love the video game part, but they blew it on the image thing. Totally blew it.
There's absolutely no question that they totally blew that, and because they're obviously using images. There's no question about it. It's not a generic face. The only time you see a generic face is when you create a player by yourself. The debate here, even in further, is the use of stats. Is the use of a player's stats or a team's stats, is that a violation?
Well, I would think that that's sanctioned. So I have no problem with that.
But the fact that the NCAA okayed it without any monetary... without any money going back to the players, I always wondered how that was possible.
Right. Well, evidently so did Ed O'Bannon.
it always amazes me when I think about Ed O'Bannon playing a basketball game, going, "Hey, that's me." And again, most of us would have been like, "This is cool. I'm in a video game."
Yeah.
His thought was completely the other way around.
I think his thought was the other way around once he started struggling a little bit. How about that? I mean, so that's where we are. I mean, this is how important it is to the landscape. I mean, how important it is to the landscape. I mean, you love wrestling. Penn State is going to drop wrestling. They're not going to do that. Too important to the school, to you, the fans, the whole thing. But there are only 76 wrestling programs out there. Do you really think that if all this comes to pass, that there are going to be 76 wrestling programs? Okay, Dick, very quickly.
I just wanted to make this point when you talked about the travel. The Baltimore Orioles are playing on the West Coast. This is their only trip to the West Coast the whole season. They play all three teams right now. And you know, there's colleges, they set up these conferences where they have to travel across the country, all these teams all the time, which is just stupid. I mean, there's conferences with San Diego and the East Coast, I think it is.
You're right. So some of the area of the country that some of these conferences take up, mind-boggling. It's not, I mean, we think the Big Ten, I mean, I think of the Big Ten as being somewhat confined, because I... Right. But it's still, when you think about it, from the Wyoming border to the Atlantic Ocean, it's pretty vast.
Well, I did hear a couple years ago, when they were bringing Rutgers and Maryland in, because obviously the Big Ten was always the middle of the country, and all of a sudden they got a team. If it'd be any further east, it would be in the Atlantic Ocean, which I thought was kind of amusing for Rutgers, anyhow. But yeah, I mean, travel is a big issue. Let alone that's a big part of anybody's budget.
No question. And, you know, take, for example, there are 14 golf programs in the Big Ten, Dick. Do you know how many of them have a home golf tournament? Not many.
There can't be a lot of them to have one because there's not that many golf matches.
They play most of them, Florida, North Carolina, whatever. Penn State has one a year at home. Ohio State has one or two a year at home. You know, there's some great golf in this conference, but they aren't used that often by the teams.
But I wonder how these schools afford to fly their volleyball team and their field hockey teams from coast to coast for a two-hour match.
Well, let's see. I know one way to do it is block scheduling, where you can take various teams and put them all together. Some have to fly commercial, and depending on certain trips, some of them get in van or they bus, and it takes forever.
I just don't like the idea of having conferences that go from coast to coast. I just think it's kind of ridiculous.
Ask San Diego State.
You kind of lose your identity.
Ask San Diego State when they were in the Big East how that worked. How that worked out with travel.
Anyhow, that's all I wanted to comment. As I say, the Orioles made their only trip to the West Coast, and just the way it worked out. Now, the Oakland A's came in five times only because they play a double against the National League teams. That's what it was. I heard the announcers talking about it.
Right.
That's just the way that their schedule worked out this year. All right. I'll let you go. Thanks.
All right. Back with more after this. Well, when we talk about the future of sports, it's not has anything to do with football and men's basketball. Anybody who thinks that doesn't quite get the landscape. This is all about, to me, what sports are able to survive in college sports, because the models that are put out there, you know, we're going to pay players. You know, they're on TV. Look at them. I mean, Ed O'Bannon, Little Leaguers ought to be paid.
The sports that concern me the most are gymnastics. And even lacrosse right now, even though it's on TV a little bit, that would be one that I would think would be a quick one to get the hook.
Kevin, I'll tell you right now, as much as the fans in this area love wrestling, in the Big Ten, everybody would keep it. But outside the Big Ten, I can tell you right now, that's one of the first to go.
Yeah, I don't think you'll see anybody in Pennsylvania or in this part of the East getting rid of it. But I could see it, if it is existing in California, it would go there.
76 would be down into the 30s in no time. Because there'd be a lot of athletic. I mean, it's a men's sport. And
with no women counterpart sport, usually.
Right. You're sitting there going, okay, now what do we do? They drop? No, the Big Ten wouldn't.